There was a really fun comment from Alice in Wonderland. It was a quote from her story. I think it was Alice. Alice was laughing like, one can't believe in impossible things. And then said the queen, it was the queen. And I believe that Alice responded with something like, when I was younger, I always did this for a half an hour a day. You know, sometimes I believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast, right? And that's like the notion of us and what we do. You believe and you create impossible things. That's how you innovate. And that's how you create future concepts. That's how you build giant solar arrays or quantum computing machines, is you believe in impossible things and then you make them happen.
Welcome to Nexten. I'm your host for the brand new show. That's called Nexten. My name is Ho Frisch and I'm a data center professional in addition to a software engineer. My show is about next insights, next inputs, and the next innovations. In here, I'm currently delving into the working ways of some of the most successful personalities across the world. Annyeonghaseyo, I'm super excited to be back with my next episode on Nexten. Well, tonight, Nexten brings to you the most awaited chat on the show. But before that, I'd like to ask you something. Are you interested in getting the additional details apart from the one that you hear on Nexten? If that's a yes from you, it's great news. Because now, I feel very happy to tell you that Nexten introduces the research papers, which will uncover the entire topics taken up. Subscribe now so that you don't miss any of it. Now, let's get started with the show. Well, this is for the very first time for me to have one of the youngest and most talented guests from the data center industry on my show today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Bill Clayman. Mr. Clayman brings more than 15 years of experience to his role as Executive Vice President of Digital Solutions at Switch. Using the latest innovations such as artificial intelligence, machine learning, data center design, DevOps, cloud, and advanced technologies, Mr. Clayman delivers solutions to customers that help them achieve their business goals and remain competitive in the market. An active member in the technology industry, he was ranked 16th globally in the Analytica study that reviewed the top 100 most influential individuals in the cloud landscape, and 4th in another Analytica study which reviewed the industry's top data security experts. He's a regularly featured keynote presenter and speaker at major industry events, including Oracle Cloud Day, Oracle Open World, Interop, FCOM Data Center World, DCD, Channel Partners, and many more. Hello, Mr. Clayman. It's an ultimate treat to host you on the show.
Thank you so much, Ho Frisch. It's really nice to be here. An honor and a pleasure.
It's an absolute pleasure for me, Bill, to have you on the show. Well, I was chatting a bit with my listeners about our unique vision that has kept us hooked to it for a while. The millennials, iMasons community, data center market, scholarships, all of it, that creates a suspense here. So Bill, as I like to call you, would you want to have it spoken to introduce the iMasons Millennial Gen Z's vision?
Yeah, so I work with a lot of different organizations and we'll get into that in just a few minutes, but specifically working with millennials and Gen Z, just to clear it up, millennials is anyone born from 1981 to 1996 and Gen Z, really anyone born after 96. And the entire goal here, the inspiration, is to educate and inspire the future of our digital engineers and the future of the digital infrastructure that we build every single day, so that when one day this hair turns gray, I can see a sea of different people, different colors, different genders, all supporting the future digital infrastructure.
Yes, we envision to empower youth and future digital builders with a platform to interact comfortably, grow their knowledge, and inspire innovation. But I'm sure we can create that sea sooner than our follicles making our hair turn gray. So Bill, how do you happen to think about focusing on this particular need of the industry?
Well, I learned very quickly that there's, how do I say this? A lack of diversity in our industry. There really is. Last year, when we were allowed to travel, I stood in front of a stage in front of, you know, over 1,000 people here in the United States. And this was my keynote presentation at the AFCOM Data Center World. And as I look at this broad audience, this space of people, I saw it was a lot of guys. It was a lot of white guys in there who are leading our industry. And they're brilliant and they're super smart, but we lack that diversity. And even in our report, when we took a look at the statistics of respondents, I mean, this is a lot of people. 86% were male, 14% were female. And that's a problem. That's a problem for me, and that's a problem for anybody that's actually listening to this podcast and taking some notes, because we need that diversity. So when I joined Switch, I was given the extraordinary opportunity to work with an organization called iMasons, Infrastructure Masons. You guys can check it out on imasons.org, where this organization is not a sales, it's nothing like that. It's literally on the foundation of creating digital engineers for the future, inspired through education, diversity, inclusion, and equality, and really spreading a more positive message around the technology platforms that we use every single day. So I was given the chance to be the chairperson for the iMasons Millennial and Gen Z Foundation. And really, that's where it took off. So through my own experience in working with everything from cloud, data centers, virtualization, DevOps, and now in the hyperscale space, I just want to get people inspired based on the things that we're doing. The future generation, you and I and young people listening to this, you might be building the next data center that houses a quantum computer. I mean, just understand the capabilities and the possibilities of what can be creative. That's why I'm doing this. That's why I want to get into this. I'm an engineer who loves to get my hands dirty in the bits and bytes of the data center, but also somebody who writes and talks about this to get people, I don't know, it's early in the morning here, so just as excited as I am, this early in the morning.
Wow, I loved your spirit. And I completely agree with your point that diversity is one of the major focuses right now. And I do not understand why the number lacks here though. For that matter, could you please tell us what's the current base, either a number or the percentage of the youth in the data center industry? And what exactly do you think is the biggest challenge for us to increase that so that we can probably plan to take it up in the next 5 years with Gen Z?
So there are young people in our industry. There are. You know what? This is the challenge of not being able to see the audience, right? I would love to ask this question of the audience. I'm like, what do you think the cloud is? Or what do you think a data center is? And I bet a lot of people might have a vision of like some blinking lights or, you know, just maybe a couple of rows and some computers. But realistically speaking, people don't really know what a data center really is. When in the reality is that we touch, work with, interact with technologies that sit in a data center every single day. From the moment that you wake up and check your Apple Watch or whatever the case is, you're interacting with data that has to live somewhere. When I speak to young people, I try and tell them this. Did you know that a single Google search, one Google search can power a 100-watt light bulb for 11 seconds? Think about that when you're streaming Netflix or Hulu or whatever your favorite show might be, that there's a digital footprint, an impact that you will have regardless of the fact that you might actually understand it or not. So young people that are entering into this world have a misconception as to what data center is. I had one as well. So I work at Switch, like I said, and we have done everything from drone technologies to robotics to building the world's largest behind-the-meter solar and battery array with Tesla. Hang on a second. We're also a data center company. And this is the kind of message that we need to get out to young students. Right now, we're working with a very large national organization of engineering consortiums, engineering students. And these are, my goodness, Hoofers, these are brilliant engineers, power design. They look at infrastructure, working with batteries. They don't know what a data center is or how to apply their knowledge. So you go to these students and you say, beyond your concepts of a warehouse with a bunch of computers in them, this is what a data center is. These are why it's unique. This is why, and this is an article that I wrote, which, you know, you're welcome to share, that a true data center architecture is a full STEAM approach. So science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. So the state of the industry, that was a very long-winded answer, I'm sorry. is that there aren't enough young people in that executive and moving up layer, and there's not enough diversity in our data center industry as well. Whether it's women, whether it's people of color, we need to improve that. And we've been trying to do that every single year with scholarships, working directly through mentorship programs and so on. My big point is that young people aren't alone. And hopefully people get that from this. Through these programs that we're doing, Hoofers, you and I are doing this as well through iMasons. We're trying to reach out to young people to tell them there's scholarships out there, that there's opportunities and ways that you can progress in this field. We're not there yet, and there's some challenges. And that's part of the drive and the reason that I'm doing this. But the state of the young people in the industry, it can be better, but we're making it better.
Totally. Even I've came across this kind of situations where most people question me about what is data center, what do you do, how it works. So basically, they pose laymen in this particular field, which shows the need of education and inspiration for the data center industries all over. If you talk about India, since I'm well known to the market here comparatively, the total number of technical universities and colleges exceeds a huge number, with even huge number of applicants per year, which boils down to the fact that students here are highly interested in the technology. And therefore, we should stand for them in terms of education, facilitation with scholarships and other stuff so that they can choose their career very wisely and probably get in the industry and make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is, to get an estimate of our audience, we need to focus on the ratio of the college or university grads to the company freshers in tech career. A mere calculation to understand the current demand or opportunity. Well, I'll try to pull this in my research paper that I'll be publishing post the discussion. So apart from that, what's your view on the millennial or Gen Z making their career in the data center industry being absolutely future good?
Yeah, and there's actual numbers, and I'm pulling some of this up as we're sort of talking about it. There's a really interesting report that I try and follow that looks at people working remotely in some of these job areas. And interestingly enough, the technology and IT space, I'm trying to find this as we're sort of going through this, the technology and IT space beyond anything else, interestingly enough, really is outpacing everyone by double digits. And this is right now, this is pandemic era, let's call them numbers, where, for example, remote working is more than double hiring than like healthcare, finance, and anything else. I wanna talk about that, what you just asked specifically. The latest AFCOM State of the Data Center report, and this is taking from stats from anyone responding, and our members are global, by the way, this is not just United States, showed that even right now, more than 40% of people in the data center industry are hiring, right? And there's 92% didn't lay off anybody. Maybe there was furloughs, but they didn't. The vast majority of our industry was stable. So if you're looking at a place and a career to go, that's future proof. I don't like that word as much. This is definitely an area to go down. The one thing, Hoofers, I want to talk to you about is college and schools. Here in the United States, at least, there's a lot of issue with debt, obviously, from schooling. So a lot of our students are looking at places outside of college. Mission U, UnCollege, for example, here in the United States, 75% of Gen Zs, those are people that, again, born after 96, say that there are other ways of getting a good education other than going to college. And only 11% of Gen Z said going to college to get that debt is not actually worth it. So to your point, I love school, right? I had 3 degrees. I really enjoyed my time in school, but I also learned very quickly that there's brilliant engineers and architects that have Cisco certifications, or NetApp, or Microsoft, or Citrix, or Azure, or GCP certs that are absolutely wonderful, super smart, and can design data center technology. So don't think that you're handcuffed to having to go to a college, even though I'm not saying anything bad about that. That's a good path to go down. I think the future, as far as like jobs are concerned, Just think about it. Just think about what's happening right now in the past, 8 months, which feels like a decade. How immeasurably critical our digital infrastructures have been. And this word innovation is not marketing. It's not this cool word. It's about survival. And those organizations that invested and supported the digital infrastructure right now, here's a secret. They survived, right? In some cases, they're thriving because they were able to do this. For the young people that are listening, there are a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of growth in the digital space. In the entire world right now, all over the world, we're only 50% penetrated as far as internet connectivity. That's it.
Very well explained. You know, Bill, this is a question that would definitely be on most minds is why the data center industry only? Why are we so focused on it? And what is it that keeps us stick to it in terms of Vision 2?
Hoofrish, because it's so cool. Because it's so cool. Data centers are amazing. And I'm one that's become a convert. I started off my career. And by the way, thank you for calling me the youngest person on this podcast. That's also kind of awesome. I started off my career. I am a millennial. I don't know if I need to apologize for that, but I am. I had a chance right out of college to really go into technology very early on. And I spent my first years working with one of the largest Citrix partners in the country, in the United States, working with cloud virtualization technologies. After that, I got a chance to go into DevOps, really spent a year with a company that was just extraordinary, EPAM Systems. Still to this day, I believe some of the best digital engineers I've ever worked with. And I got a chance to learn about applications and where they're getting deployed. So for everyone listening that's in the DevOps application, data analytics space, where you're not actually touching the data center, this is where it's interesting to make that transition to better understand the underlying foundation of what actually controls us. Why is a data center exciting? Because it's so much more than just a building with blinking lights. There's science behind it where you can do things like computational fluid dynamics, for example, if you're interested in physics, and create digital clones of existing facilities to understand using 3D simulations of cooling and efficiency. You can leverage things like AI and machine learning in these digital clones to create digital insights and better insights into, you know, things like liquid cooling within an environment. You can build robotics. I'm not kidding. You can build robots to help facilitate data operations, you know, as far as the connected things are concerned. And I talked about quantum computing. There will be data centers out there that have to maintain, you know, operations near absolute zero temperatures. And that's really freaking cold to allow quantum computing to continue to function. If you think that's your traditional data center, then you're way off. There's other scenarios where art, for example, there's a supercomputer in Barcelona. It's actually called the Barcelona Supercomputing Center. If you're on a computer listening to this, I'm not going to get offended. Pull up a Google window and take a look at it. It's basically a data center in a cathedral. It's gorgeous. It's one of the most architecturally gorgeous pieces of it, of infrastructure you can take a look at. And there's mathematics, right? You can use math skills alongside engineering to develop roofs that can withstand 200 mile an hour winds, you know, everything from monsoon winds to tornadoes. And then as far as engineering is concerned, why data centers are interesting, you can apply your knowledge before anything is even built. There's so many variables in terms of designing and architecture that supports every single thing that we do beyond a final building that's standing. That's so exciting. So Hoofrish and everybody listening, why data centers? My challenge to you is pause on what you think a data center might be. Google my company, switch.com, and take a look at a video and you'll be like, oh, that's what a data center is. Oh my goodness. This is way different than what I thought it could be. That's why data centers are fresh. That's why it's important for people to understand that there's so much more to this than, like I said, blinking lights and big buildings. It's a really exciting field to be in.
Fantastic. Apart from the listeners, I really got something to pay more attention to now. Well, other than the applications that we've discussed right now, are there any innovations that we're looking at or have been out in the market that you'd like to point out?
And a lot of these projects are things that we're working on, for example. So you'll see more robotics, more automation. So anybody working with data analytics, please be prepared for what we call living data centers, smart data centers, where automation will allow you to, for example, I mean, again, this is something that you can be designing where if there's a fluctuation in airflow around any sort of ecosystem, whether it's liquid cooled or whatever, you know, a vent can open. I mean, this is completely without human interaction and close up again and allow that airflow to be proper, maintain proper flow and so on. There's other elements as well. Robotics within the data center. If anyone ever goes to our website, you can click on the robotics thing and see what we're working on as well. One other thing that I want to talk about that's really, really fascinating and interesting that every single person that's working in the technology space, especially in data center or energy and power, is going to be renewable energy. Renewable energy, creating a greener platform, greener earth, for example, helping our planet breathe easier. And again, using my organization as a real world example, we are creating with our partners at Capital Dynamics and Tesla, we and Con Edison, we're creating, and this is already broken, $1.3 billion solar and battery project. This is the largest behind the meter solar and battery array that's ever been constructed. And we're going to be producing more than 1 gigawatt of combined energy. And we're talking about the capability to power the city of San Francisco for 6 hours on batteries alone, right? And the entire idea here, everybody, and this is why it's so exciting, and this is why you're going to start to see this as well, is the ability to power hyperscale data centers, not a small closet, not a telco, hyperscale data centers that you use every single day for all of your streaming services, compute, all of that on solar energy, and also continue to power it with solar energy when the sun goes down using Tesla Megapack batteries. And we're creating this from an economies of scale perspective. We're creating this from a place where we can lower the price on actual utilities bill by more than 50%. So not just, hey, go to green, it's going to be more expensive, but go to green and we're going to lower your bills and you're going to make the environment better as well. When it comes to innovation, that's going to be a big one. We're going to fight through politics and through utilities commissions and all this other fun stuff that we have to work around. And fight's not the right word. I don't like that word. Work together. We're going to work together with people to create a greener planet. For everyone listening, that's a part of the future, is how we're going to be powering and using these systems. Hoofrish, one of my goals and one of the things that I want to experience in life, you know, when my kids grow up and all of that, is that they're able to sit down in front of a machine and watch their favorite cartoon. And I know for a fact that what they're watching is being powered by the sun. That's what I want. Like, I want somebody streaming their favorite show or their next Marvel movie and know that, you know, that was rendered and made in a data center that was completely powered by solar energy. How cool is that? Knowing that your digital footprint didn't leave a carbon footprint. That's so cool. That's innovation for the future.
That's an amazing project that you've just mentioned. More than 1 gigawatt of combined energy. I mean, wow. And what you mentioned, your digital footprint did not leave a carbon footprint. That's really good. I mean, that's really so cool. Well, I'd also like to ask you, what are the steps that have been taken to lead the vision of iMasons Gen Z?
So, you know, as a young person going into the industry, like I said, you know, I do recommend you take a look at that interview with Dean Nelson. It's going to give you some ideas as far as what we're doing. Plus, Dean is a great person to follow. He's a champion of young people, and he's the former head of Uber Compute. Really great guy. We at iMasons are creating a platform on a global scale. And I really do mean that. You know, Hoofrish, you're helping out. Obviously, we've got people in Europe and here in the United States as well. And I'm surrounded and honored to be, you know, with you and other folks that are helping me drive this conversation. But if you're a millennial or Gen Z or young person, you're watching this, you know, again, you're not alone. Part of what we're doing at iMasons, and you're welcome to check it out, iMasons.org, is offering scholarships to students to get into the universities, to get into different fields of study, for example. We are holding regular workshops. We are lending the minds of executives from Microsoft, Google, Facebook, Switch, obviously, you know, people in my industry, to work with students, to work with people. I work for a very large organization. We have like a $4 billion market cap in here in the US. And 2 days ago in the evening, I was on a phone call, like I said, with a student from a largely minority university. And we were talking about application design. And her project was 1 million people on an app, but she didn't have to design the app. She had to design the data center part of it. Like, what does it look like? How do you support 1 million people? And I sat there with her just for over an hour to talk about that, to help her educate and understand. We want to help students, right? So that's a part of what else we're doing. So scholarships, working directly with universities through different kinds of engineering and technology consortiums. And then finally lending a hand and working more directly with young people as often as we can through our organization, specifically with minorities. So my recommendation to everyone listening is, first of all, you know, never lose your childhood sense of wonder. I always say that, right? That's really, really important, because when you stop dreaming, you stop innovating. That's, you know, play with toys. Look what I got. I've got Wolverine, I've got Iron Man, and I got, you know, Star Wars over there. That's totally cool, right? I think having that sort of imagination and fascination with crazy, awesome things is wonderful. Please know that you're not alone. And I also really want to recommend that you do reach out to people, executives especially. Some of them might be really busy and some of them might give you the cold shoulder. That's not what you get from iMasons, and that's not what we're trying to do. The goal here is to inspire you to do great things, not just say, you know, go read a book. I mean, I'm a hands-on person. I get it, right? Don't tell me to read a book. Show me how to do things. Talk to me about something. Make me just as inspired as you know, caffeinated Bill is. That's some of the things that we're doing right now. So through those programs, we're trying to enlighten a lot of people.
Well, talking about the scholarships, would you like to explain a bit about the universities that we've partnered with and also the data center courses that can be offered?
That's a very good question. There's several universities right now that we're looking at, everything from Hampton University to University of Southern California, USC. So just to give you an example, next week, I'm lecturing a USC course for engineering students for sustainability, architecture, and engineering. Mm-hmm. And my entire presentation is specifically about data center architecture, future concepts, and everything in sort of between. We have several schools that we work with. I don't think we sort of isolate. You can be at any school and apply for a scholarship. You know, electrical engineering, computer science students, undergraduate and graduate students have already received them. We've gotten them from everything from University of Tennessee, Big Bend, SMU. These are all US based, but there's other ones from, I'm just looking at the list right now, from other parts of the world as well. And we've awarded already more than $100,000 in scholarships to students. So this is something you can take a look at imasons.org and see if you can apply as well. So you can get you know, a scholarship from us too. We have partnerships with some schools. That's a part of the process that we're still building out. But, you know, we're out there, we're talking about it, we're lecturing about this stuff. But, you know, get out to our website and check out what we're doing.
Well, that's so great. I mean, all the courses related to the data center that can be taken up. But also, there are any other fields that we are like that we target?
Please understand that we want it. It's digital engineering, right? I feel like we sort of get you know, put in this block of just data centers. It really is digital engineering, because that talks about all of our concepts around things like edge computing, new conversations around things like mist computing, which is like the extreme edge, the edge of the edge, you know, different kinds of colocation facilities, working mm-hmm. with things like 5G customized antennas and wavelengths. This is all things that we're talking power engineering, green technologies, way beyond just the data center. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, we will support, partner with, talk to students, work with colleges and universities and programs that have, there's no data center, literally just flat earth all the way to something that's built, right? So, and this is something that I've done as well, where I've talked to engineers mm-hmm. and I've discussed with them, all right, you have to build a data center from scratch. What do you do? How do you start? Who do you talk to? Like, what's your, you know, what do you want to do? And so students will start to say, okay, well, we got to make sure that there's enough power in the facility. All right, cool. Yeah. So start with power, right? More than one source, right? Yeah. Okay. Then what do you need? Well, the telecommunications. Okay. Well, how many different telecommunications lines do you need? More than one, right? Yeah. So you can't just build in the middle of nowhere, right? No, I guess I can't. So you start to have these really fun conversations, and then you finally
and
say, okay.
Most interesting process, I would say, to build up right from the scratch. You get to know each and every detail of the data center, how to build it up and what all things are required, the redundancy and everything. That's the most interesting part. That's actually very good.
Yes, I was. It was a conversation that I had with a professor from Tulane University, and I still talk with her quite often. And she said, Bill, why don't people build data centers like in the middle of Nebraska or Oklahoma, or like the middle of anywhere. Like I could talk to you like in the middle of India, and it's like, okay, you could build a data center in the middle of India. What if there's no power? Well, I get, well, what if there's one power source? I'm like, you're really going to build a data center with just one power source? Okay, well, I guess not. Well, what about telecommunications or just connectivity? What if there's just nothing out there? Like, all right, well, that's a really good point as well. So you can't necessarily build a data center where there's no underlying infrastructure to support it. All of these are really fun conversations to have. And then what's really fun is to try and figure out how to build a data center in the middle of nowhere where you might need to put power there through solar or microgrids, or how to build a data center where there's no communications out there, 5G, bonded 5G antennas to get a certain amount of bandwidth. That's where you can get pretty creative and pretty cool.
That's good. That's really good. I mean, mm-hmm. Really fun conversation to have.
Yeah, it's like the whole, you know, it's the Star Trek mentality, right? Go out there and achieve the impossible because you have to dream it first.
Yeah, because that's where you explore different things which you have never thought of. And in the middle of the conversation, you get to think about so many, a whole lot of questions that you have never paid attention to before, unless you have been into that situation. So that's any day a very fun conversation. That's cool. So we were talking about the process to get the scholarship and to be a part of, you know, one of the processes that we are already taking care of and we are targeting. So how one can participate? I mean, in terms of the website, it's fine. I mean, one can log in and connect there. Anything else that you would like to inform to the listeners that on the participation basis?
Don't be afraid to get started. One of the reasons I was successful early on is, you know, I wasn't afraid to fail, and that's okay. As a young person, somebody starting out, you know, you need to be surrounded by people who can support you to grow, learn. It's okay to fail. And I mean, you know, don't do it consistently. Learn from your mistakes, please. But you need to be in an environment that's supportive for that. So, you know, to get started, and, you know, I'm thinking of myself back in college, which, you know, good news is it wasn't too long ago. You feel alone. You don't know what questions to always ask. You're too afraid to email an executive or somebody at an organization because you'll think that they might think you're stupid or something. You need to throw that judgment away because you don't know things. I didn't know things, right? And I did reach out to people, and I was surrounded by senior executives who were kind enough to, you know, take me under their wing and teach me and educate me and mentor me. And I did learn. And certainly I made mistakes, but I learned from those. So from participation perspective, start with imasons.org. That those executives that are on that website and what we're doing are prepared to lend an ear and advice to get started. Know that some of the organizations that we're partnering with are specifically designed to support the future of digital engineering and builders. That's a very long-winded answer. Here, just start with imasons.org. Reach out to me. Hoofers is a wonderful person to work with as well. She's got a lot of great connections. Just don't be afraid to start asking questions. And if I can't answer it, at least I'll try to point you in the right direction of where you can keep going and keep growing. But the good kind of executives, the good kind of companies, they're out there to mentor you. They're not just like, go learn on your own, because that's not fun.
Bill, you've really got away with your words. And people, now you get it. How difficult it must have been for me to chalk out one motivational liner out of the many for the beginning of my podcast.
There's a, you know, there, this, this you're going to hate me because I'm about to give you another one. There was a really fun comment from Alice in Wonderland. It was a quote from her story. I think it was Alice was laughing, like, one can't believe in impossible things. And then said the queen, it was the queen. And I believe that Alice responded with something like, when I was younger, I always did this for half an hour a day. You know, sometimes I believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast, right? And that's like the notion of us and what we do. You believe and you create impossible things. That's how you innovate. And that's how you create future concepts. That's how you build giant solar arrays or quantum computing machines, is you believe in impossible things and then you make them happen.
You've got me on. Thanks a lot.
Anyway. Okay. So
what's one message that you'd like to say to all the probable future digital builders that are listening to our podcast?
I mentioned this earlier, and this is something that I've found some of the best leaders that I've worked with, executives. I mean, this is C-level, my boss, for example, and others as well. They always dream, and they never stop dreaming. Mm-hmm. And as a result, they're constantly driven to change things and innovate. Right. And my recommendation to everybody, my one last line is never stop dreaming, never stop innovating, never lose that childhood sense of wonder, because that's when you make amazing things happen. And don't let anyone ever tell you that you have, you know, a silly or stupid idea. You know, challenge them and say, why do you think that? What can we do better? Sometimes people are just jealous. Please be creative and don't let anyone shun away your creativity. You need to think about extraordinary things because that's how we progress our industry is through extraordinary means. And you as a young person driven by passion and sometimes naivety, you think of great things and you need to share that. Don't, you know, write them down. You know, a lot of times ideas are lost in our dreams. Write them down, you know, jot them down, share them with people. I work with my own engineering staff regularly and they'll come up to us and they'll ask me questions around really crazy things like biomimicry, learning from nature, right? How can we apply concepts from nature to technology? And I'll just give you one really crazy fun example. I know this is long-winded. Owls, when owls fly, their wings don't generate any vibration or movement in the air. Every other bird does, but owls don't. That's what makes them such effective hunters. So what I've seen organizations do, and this is something that we've done as well, is they've created fans that mimic owls' wings. So that all of a sudden, your entire facility is greatly reduced in vibration and the amount of noise that this creates. Biomimicry. Now you're telling me you want to talk about impossible things. Somebody sits to me and says, I'm going to design a fan that's based on an owl's wing. Somebody might say that's insane. Somebody else might say, you just reduced my vibration in my data center by 60%. Thanks for doing that. Think about impossible things.
Literally amazing. I'm telling you, there are so many things now that have gotten me into thinking and searching a lot of things. I pretty much plan to schedule another podcast with you very soon because undoubtedly there's a lot of insights that needs to be heard and learned from you. And thank you so much for being here.
I would love another podcast. And what I'd love to do is you know, I'd love to pose a question who first to your listeners. What do you want to hear about? What do you want to listen about? This is your chance to ask a question. I'm going to be very candid and open and honest with the responses. Ask me anything you want about this industry. I am a young person. I promise I'll be very candid with you. And I do work with people who are younger than I am. And I work with people who are older than I am. And if I can be that buffer to answer anything like that, and I do work on an international scale, I am an immigrant myself. I wasn't born in the United States. So anything I can help with, I'd love to be that vessel of information. So for your listeners, you know, I want to see some comments. I want to see some questions in that box below so that, you know, Hoofers and I have something to talk about next time.
Definitely. In fact, I'm very hopeful to get a lot of comments on this very podcast because it was very interesting. And that too, from coming up from a very young leader that's ready to help. So thanks.
I appreciate thanks that. I'll take that as a compliment.
You should. That was a compliment.
Thank you.
Hello there. That is it for today's show. And I hope you like this. Subscribe now in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.